The COVID vaccine is here, and it couldn't come fast enough. The COVID pandemic has reached another peak and has increased in incidence markedly across the world. The only hope of getting the upper hand on COVID-19 is to have effective vaccines. The new vaccines are here, and many people have expressed concern about getting them because of fear of complications. The CDC has released the first analysis that they have done on any complications that were reported from the 1.8 million patients who received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. In today's JAMA Clinical Reviews, we talk with the CDC about what these complications were, if they were serious or not, and if there's anything for people receiving the vaccine to worry about.
From the JAMA Network, this is JAMA Clinical Reviews, interviews and ideas about innovations in medicine, science, and clinical practice. Here's your host, Ed Livingston.
I'd like to thank you for joining us today in JAMA Clinical Reviews, and let's start by having the two of you introduce yourselves. Tell us your names and your titles.
Hi, I'm Tom Shimobukuro. I'm the Deputy Director of the Immunization Safety Office at CDC, and I'm the Vaccine Safety Team Lead in CDC's COVID-19 Vaccine Task Force.
And I'm Sarah Mbey. I'm a medical officer at CDC, and I'm currently leading guidance development for the Vaccine Task Force.
The CDC recently published a MMWR from the initial findings of the vaccine surveillance from about the first million or so patients who received the first dose of the vaccine. Could you summarize for us what's in that report?
In that initial report, we summarized the early safety monitoring findings for COVID-19 vaccines with a specific focus on cases of anaphylaxis following vaccination. And what we found was that we detected 21 cases of confirmed anaphylaxis following roughly 1.8 million doses administered. And this translates to a rate of about 11.5 cases of anaphylaxis per million doses administered. Now, based on this early safety monitoring, this appears to be a rare event, 11.5 cases per million doses administered. But we will continue to monitor the safety of these vaccines. Anaphylaxis is clinically serious, but we have guidance out for vaccine locations on diagnosing and treating and also reporting these cases to CDC.
Anaphylaxis can be a serious complication, but if I understand the data correctly, nobody had a serious complication attributable to the anaphylactic reaction from the vaccine. Is that correct?
So for the cases we've been able to identify, they were all rapidly diagnosed, promptly treated, and had good outcomes.
How soon after receiving the vaccine did they get the anaphylactic reaction?
Most of these anaphylaxis cases occurred within 15 to 30 minutes. There were a couple that occurred outside of 30 minutes, but the overwhelming majority occurred within 30 minutes.
Do we know anything about the patients who had these anaphylactic reactions? Is there any way to predict who might be at risk for them?
A relatively high percentage of individuals who had anaphylaxis after a COVID vaccination did have a history of allergies or allergic reactions. However, we don't have a good comparison group of individuals who also had histories of allergies and allergic reactions who got vaccination and did just fine. Allergies and allergic reactions are quite common. So we suspect that most individuals who do have allergies or allergic reactions can get these vaccines and do just fine.
So I gather that these vaccines are being administered in a way that people can monitor for the allergic reactions and treat them if they occur. I know at least when I got the vaccine, I was told I had to wait for 15 minutes while they observed us. And also it was done in a facility where if anyone were to have a reaction, there was a crash cart, all that kind of stuff. Are those the recommendations that you have for administering the vaccine?
Yes, CDC has guidance out on post-vaccination observation periods, and they range from 15 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on your history of allergies or allergic reactions. There's also recommendations to have adequate supplies available to treat anaphylaxis and have trained individuals who can recognize and rapidly respond to an anaphylaxis event. and treat with the appropriate medication, and the first line of treatment is intramuscular epinephrine.
And actually, before I get beat up on social media, it's not that JAMA editors got vaccinated. It's just that I am an active surgeon. In fact, I'm on call as we do this interview. So I'm a frontline clinician and got vaccinated because of that. So continuing, there's been a lot of newspaper reports about people being concerned about vaccine safety and not wanting to take this vaccine. And when I read those reports, it seems to me that people are looking at this as if somebody conjured up a vaccine and just put it out there for the public to start using. And that's not what happened here. My recollection of some of our conversations with Dr. Fauci as far back as January, February, is that vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, were created right away once the sequence of the virus was known. And the testing procedures for the vaccine efficacy and safety began way back then. So there's a fair amount of information about the vaccines, not a complete book of information, but a fair amount about their efficacy and safety. So can either one of you comment on that process and what we know about the vaccines to date?
I think it's important to know that the groundwork for these vaccines had been laid over several years. mRNA vaccines have been under development for other diseases for quite some time before they were developed for COVID-19. So the process that was undertaken to approve these vaccines was the same that has been used for all of our other vaccines in terms of rigorous clinical trials. And these clinical trials were initiated using existing networks for clinical trials. So they were able to be up and running pretty quickly. Manufacturing of the vaccines also started much more quickly than they would have otherwise if there hadn't been a public health emergency. So manufacturing started while the clinical trials were still underway. The other thing is that mRNA vaccines are faster to produce than traditional vaccines. So we're able to produce them much more quickly. But again, the same process in terms of clinical trials, review of the safety and efficacy data by external experts who advise both the FDA and CDC, those procedures were followed for these vaccines as well.
When you read the press reports about people expressing their concerns about the vaccine and not wanting to get it, I get the sense that they project on their concerns about other kinds of vaccines, like some people are afraid to have their kids vaccinated with the measles vaccine for fear of autism. Some people are afraid of getting Guillain-Barré that you get with the flu vaccine, or some of the other complications. This is a very different kind of vaccine, and the spectrum of potential complications should be very different. So can you tell us what you would like to tell the public at large about the potential safety concerns, long-term safety concerns of this vaccine stacked up against more established vaccines that we already know how they behave in the long term?
I think it is reasonable for people to be concerned about the safety of vaccines, especially vaccines that are made using new technologies. I want to reinforce what my colleague, Dr. Mbaye, mentioned, that these vaccines have undergone rigorous testing for safety and efficacy prior to receiving an authorization for use by the Food and Drug Administration. Vaccines in general are among the safest medical products in use. They undergo extensive testing for safety and efficacy. And then once they are authorized or licensed for use, there is extensive monitoring during the post-authorization or post-licensure period. Most adverse reactions to vaccines are mild and self-limiting, meaning that they last for a short period of time and they go away on their own. Serious adverse events are rare, and the adverse event that we've been talking about in the context of today's interview, anaphylaxis, is an adverse event which can be detected and treated, and people have good outcomes. We do have multiple complementary safety monitoring systems in place, and we will continue to monitor the safety of these COVID-19 vaccines through the duration of the National Immunization Program and moving forward as they become part of the routine immunization program. We will be looking at the safety of vaccines both in the short term and in the long term, and we also have research programs in place to do targeted studies if necessary.
If a clinician or non-clinician were to ask you directly about the safety of the vaccine and whether or not they should get it, what would your answer be, and how would you convince them that they should not be afraid of getting this vaccine?
So if I were advising a clinician about whether or not to get these vaccines, I would tell them absolutely, if it were me, I would get this vaccine. And that's because I understand how serious and deadly COVID infection can potentially be. And, you know, people who are healthcare workers or others on the front line are exposed to it every single day. These vaccines have been rigorously tested for their safety and effectiveness. And I think, you know, I would advise the clinician that the benefits of protecting yourself against COVID-19 outweigh any of some of the mild side effects that Dr. Shimabukuro described, like a sore arm or redness at the injection site or having a headache or muscle ache for a day or two after the vaccine. Protecting yourself against this deadly infection is very important. The other thing I just wanted to say is I think it's important for people to understand what mRNA vaccines are and what they're not. So as opposed to some of our other vaccines where we put a weakened or an activated germ into our bodies, that's not how mRNA vaccines work. Instead, they teach our cells how to make harmless pieces of what's called the spike protein. And this is what helps to trigger our immune system to develop antibodies against the bacteria. So we're not, you know, there's no live virus, there's no inactivated virus that are part of these vaccines. It's like giving our bodies the instructions to make pieces of the virus that help our immune systems fight it off. The other thing I wanted to point out is that mRNA does not enter the cell nucleus. It doesn't affect or interact with our DNA in any way. And that's a common myth about mRNA vaccines that I think it's important for healthcare workers to understand so that when they're talking to patients, they can also explain it. And the other thing is that these vaccines cannot give someone COVID-19. They, as I mentioned, they're not produced using any infectious antigens, so they cannot give or spread COVID. So those are some of the things I think are important for healthcare workers to know to protect themselves, but also to be able to explain to their patients who may have heard some myths and misinformation about these vaccines.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for that answer, because as a healthcare worker who goes into a hospital and I've known a couple people who've been exposed to COVID because they operated on them. And although those patients were initially COVID test negative, they turned up positive postoperatively. And now that I'm vaccinated, I feel much more, I'm not completely vaccinated, I have the second dose to go, but I feel much safer in the hospital, a great deal more confidence that there's a very low likelihood that I'm going to get this disease. And having seen patients die from it, it's a horrible disease, and young people get it, old people get it and die from it, young people get it and get chronic disease from it. This is not something to be taken lightly. So I'm very glad that this vaccine's out there. I'm very glad that I got it, and I think everybody else who can get it should get it. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to communicate to the JAMA audience about this vaccine and its safety?
I want to say, with respect to the risk of anaphylaxis following COVID-19 vaccination, I'd like to just reinforce that it's still early in the national COVID vaccination program, and we are still evaluating the situation and will continue to monitor for anaphylaxis following COVID vaccines. What we do know now, based on the information we have, is that anaphylaxis following COVID vaccination is a rare event, but we have measures in place at vaccination locations to diagnose and rapidly treat anaphylaxis. And as my colleague, Dr. Mbai, said, COVID-19 can be a serious disease, especially in older adults and in people with chronic medical conditions, and the benefits of COVID vaccines far outweigh the risks. The U.S. government and CDC and our colleagues at FDA have safety monitoring systems in place, and these systems work. It allows healthcare providers to report adverse events and suspected adverse reactions to us, and we were able to rapidly detect and assess these cases of anaphylaxis following COVID vaccination. We issued guidance to healthcare providers on the use of vaccines and management of anaphylaxis at vaccination locations, and we communicated the information in a timely and transparent way. So the vaccine safety monitoring system works and is there to protect the public.
I think these vaccines They are a very important tool that we now have available to help fight this pandemic and to help get COVID-19 under control. And I think if, you know, people still have questions, concerns about the vaccines, we have a lot of resources available on the CDC website, including resources for healthcare providers on how to talk to patients about the vaccines and help to address their questions. And I think the more that we can educate ourselves as healthcare providers, the more we're able to then not only make the best decision for ourselves about the vaccine, but also be able to help our patients make those decisions as well. So I'd encourage everyone to review some of the resources that we have on the website to help us all build confidence in these vaccines.
Well, that's really great and very helpful and very reassuring that the CDC is looking very carefully at this. And at least so far, with almost 2 million doses of the vaccine given, that nothing major has cropped up that should make us afraid of the vaccine. I'd like to thank Dr. Tom Shimabukuro and Sarah Mbeyi. This episode was produced by Daniel Morrow. Our audio team here at the JAMA Network includes Jesse McQuarters, Shelley Steffens, Malin Martinez from the University of Chicago, Lisa Harden, and Mike Berkowitz, Deputy Editor for Electronic Media at the JAMA Network. I'm Ed Livingston, Deputy Editor for Clinical Reviews and Education at JAMA. Thanks for listening.